the EU Commission President's appeals for political and financial solidarity, and why the UN is worried about 400,000 children in Central Africa. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, has appealed for unity in a speech this morning at a time when not only a number of European governments are questioning the appeal of the bloc, but the Transatlantic Alliance too is under strain over the Iran nuclear deal. David Herzenhorn is Politico's chief Brussels correspondent.
The European Union is fairly well divided on many issues. Brexit presents the first and best example of where the EU has fractured in recent years. There's also ongoing efforts to install a new government in Italy that could put a nationalist, populist, Eurosceptic government in charge of one of the founding EU countries for the very first time. So solidarity is a theme that's on the minds of EU leaders. At the same time, ironically, his speech highlighted many disagreements, and he complained, for example, about part-time Europeans who talk a lot. He wanted them to be pro-Europe in a full-time way.
Now, he also proposed a fund to support structural reforms. Tell us a little bit more about that.
What some of the wealthier net payer countries have been saying is that in addition to having programs that help infrastructure projects that connect the EU member states, there also should be money available for structural reforms that will continue some of the economic recovery and progress that has been made in countries like Portugal and Greece to make sure that they are strengthened in a way that won't need emergency help down the line.
David Herzenhorn, let's do the numbers. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is looking for its seventh straight week of gains, its longest winning streak since 2015. Data show in the first quarter, Hong Kong's economy notched its fastest annual growth in almost 7 years. The economy expanded at a rate of 4.7%, up from 3.4% in the fourth quarter. Now, the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, warns that 400,000 children in Central Africa are dying of starvation. The crisis is centered in the Kasai, a region of the Democratic Republic of Congo that used to be peaceful, but now fighting between a rebel movement and the government has killed thousands and forced hundreds of thousands to flee. Yves Wilmont is with UNICEF in the DRC.
Well, in the Kasai, hundreds of thousands of families have been fleeing the crisis, the conflict and the violence, and they ended up in living in the bush in dire situations with their children without access to water, sanitation, healthcare, very limited access to food and nutrition. And the consequence of that, after months of being displaced, is that a lot of children have been facing severe acute malnutrition. Lots of them have been dying in the bush. But as the situation now in Kasai is improving from a security point of view, a lot of families are coming back to their communities. We have to work quickly, not only because the conflict might reappear again, but also because these children do not have time to wait. A child that is suffering from severe acute malnutrition can very quickly, and that is a question of a few days, die from complications related to the malnutrition status.
Yves Wilmont. It's 30 years since Britain's Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher laid the stone for a new financial centre in London's East End. Canary Wharf was built on bustling former docks. The BBC's Ivana Davidovich has been to the area, home to global firms from Barclays to Reuters, in what is now London's financial hub, to find out how it's evolved.
London's former docks were an isolated industrial wasteland 30 years ago. But as the offices went up, so did a new electric transit system called the Docklands Light Railway, meaning it takes just 10 minutes to get from where I am standing now to the glass and steel skyscrapers of the city's modern business centre. Before office blocks took over, the area had been home to a different kind of industry altogether. David Matthews is from the Museum of London.
The busiest part was the 1960s. Maybe some weeks, 500 ships coming into the Docklands and offloading their cargoes. This was the busiest port in the world, Port of London.
By the 1980s, those glory days were well and truly over. But Mrs. Thatcher's government announced plans to redevelop the area and offered businesses generous tax breaks to move there. It became one of the largest urban regeneration projects of all time. I've come to visit the very first tower that was built in the new financial district.
My name is Howard Torber. I'm the Managing Director of Strategy of Canary Wharf Group. there are actually probably more than 1,000 businesses based here, ranging from Barclays and HSBC, their world headquarters, Total, we've got BP, we've got Shell.
So we're now 30 years on. The local area, like the Isle of Dogs, Tower Hamlets, which is a borough in London, has 42% of children live in poverty. It has the highest statistically unemployment rate in the whole of London, so near to the centre of financial power.
We, I think, have a responsibility that they do see this as a place that they can come, they can find work. We work with local schools and colleges to make sure that our young people are getting the sort of skills and qualifications that they'll need for the jobs that we've got coming up in the future.
My name is Wafa Mahbubal. I am 17 years old, and as I grew up, of course, the school, just with the partnership that they have with Canary Wharf, it's made me realise that, wow, there's so much more out there. I'm hoping to work with Morgan Stanley or Citibank or even BP, because it's to do with engineering and physics is my area of liking.
And that report by Ivana Davidovich. Finally, it was supposed to be a tiny snack, but a man in central China accidentally paid $29,000 for steam buns that cost just 30 cents. He entered his six-digit PIN as the amount. The mistake was only discovered a month later. Talk about heartburn. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.